Job chapter number 23 and verse number 1. Then Job answered and said, "Even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me. There the righteous might dispute with him. So should I be delivered forever from my judge. Behold," and by the way, he's talking about God here. "Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But notice this, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." We're going to preach on the subject of refiner's gold. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to look at these scriptures. And Lord, there's a lot we're going to learn this morning, a lot that needs to be said. Lord, I want to do it in a timely fashion. But Lord, please, from the youngest person that's here, Lord, all the way up, dear, our senior saints, may we lock in, may we listen, may we get what you have for each of us today. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Preach on the subject of refiner's gold, refiner's gold. I don't wear jewelry, just none at all, except for a wedding ring. That's fine with me. I don't care if you guys do, as long as it's not too much, please. But I've just never been a jewelry guy. But this particular piece of jewelry, this ring, it means a lot because of who gave it to me and because of what it stands for. It's 24 karat gold. It has an inscription that my wife put on the inside. I would take it off and read it to you, but there's certain days that I can get it off and certain days, come on now, that I can't, depending on what the weather is or what's going on, I don't know. Plus, I was climbing up into a tree stand several years ago, climbing down actually, and my foot slipped and I had my hand on the tree step here, and when I slipped, the edge of that caught my ring like that and ripped a lot of the skin around it. So I also got a lot of scar tissue. It swole up real big. I went to the doctor. I don't know why I bothered, but I went to the doctor, and he started talking about cutting my ring off. And I said, "You can cut my finger off, but you're not going to cut my ring off." And he said, "Well, if it swells," I said, "Well, I don't think it will." And so I fussed with him, and he left it alone. But so the ring is not in quite as good a shape as when I got it. It's bent up a little bit and battered, but you know what? It means a lot because my wife gave it to me and because of what it stands for. This is 24-karat gold, 24-karat gold ring. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean, 24-karat gold? Well, I'm going to read what it means, okay? Karat purity is measured as 24 times the pure mass divided by the total mass. The formula would be K equals 24 times MG over MM. Say, "Preacher, what in the world does that mean?" Well, we would go by 100% when we're talking about things. If it's 100% gold or 50% gold or 70% gold, that's based on the number 100. Gold is measured based on the number 24. And so what you have is, instead of if it's 23/24, it's a certain percentage of gold. And so 24 karat gold is 24 of 24, and the finest gold, it has to be 99.95 gold by mass in order to be 24 karat gold. 18 karat gold is 18 parts gold, 6 parts other metal. 12 karat gold is 12 parts gold, and 12 parts other metal, and so forth. The gold that my wedding ring is made of, watch this, was not dug out of the earth in the same state in which it now exists. Some miner wasn't looking for gold and all of a sudden found my wedding ring and said, "Oh, looky here. The gold, watch this, the gold that makes up this wedding ring is not as pure as it is now, nor was it shaped as it is now shaped. My wedding ring became what it is, watch this, as a result of a refining process. All gold has to be refined. All silver has to be refined." Watch this, Christians. All Christians need to be refined. That's why the children from time to time will come up on the stage and sing this song, "He's still working on me. to make me what I need to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be, because he's still working on me. There really ought to be a sign upon my heart. Don't judge him yet. There's an unfinished part. But I'll be better just according to his plan, fashioned by the master's loving hand. Job spoke these words, found in chapter 24, from the refiner's fire. Job himself was in the refiner's fire when he spoke these words. He had lost all his worldly possessions. Think about that. He'd buried 10 children. He had been forsaken by his wife. He was sitting in the ash heap of his life, suffering what the Bible describes as sore boils from the sole of his feet to the crown of his head. Now, in that condition, in the refiner's fire, listen to him, church. Listen to him, Christians. This is what he said. Even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him. He's talking about God here. You ever feel like you can't find God? And I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me. There the righteous might dispute with him so should I be delivered forever from my judgment. Then he says this, behold, I go forward, but he's not there. Backwards, I cannot perceive him. On my left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand where I cannot see him. And even in that state, he comes in verse 10 and speaks by faith and says this, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. This morning I want to preach on the subject of the refiner's fire. There's a process in which raw materials containing gold are turned into 24 karat gold. This process can teach us much about what God is doing in many of our lives and help us see that God truly knoweth the way that I take. Now, I want to walk you this morning through this process, all right? How is 24 gold karat gold produced? How in the world, preacher, how was this ring created? Number one, watch this. The raw materials containing gold or silver are purchased. The raw materials containing gold or silver are purchased. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? You're not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. I like 1 Corinthians 7:23. You are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Thank God for the day that I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. Thank God for God sending his son Jesus to go on Calvary's cross and pay for my sin debt. Thank God that I accepted the free gift of eternal life. Thank God for a Sunday many years ago as I walked the aisle of the Rock Run Baptist Church north of Brazil, Indiana. Folks, listen to me. When God saved you, he bought you. He bought you. Matthew 13:44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a treasure hidden in a field, in which when a man hath found it, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. It cost God everything. It cost Jesus his life. But you know what? He was willing to purchase our salvation. The raw materials containing the gold and silver have to be purchased. Look right up here. Have you been saved? Have you received Jesus Christ as your Savior? If you have, thank God for it. To God be the glory, great things he hath done. He's purchased you, watch this, but he's not done with you. He's not done with you. Number one, the raw materials containing gold or silver are purchased. Number two, they contain valuable gold and silver. Although they contain valuable gold and silver, they also contain an endless variety of impurities. And so when somebody buys gold ore or silver ore, yes, the gold's there, yes, the silver's there, but there's also an endless variety of impurities. That's why the Bible says in Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. When God purchases us, folks, listen to me, we're not what he wants us to be. We're just the raw materials. Titus chapter 2. I want you to listen to these verses. Hone in on this because I'm going to blow up a philosophy that is a wicked philosophy that's being taught in the majority of churches in this area. So just put your seatbelt on. Some of you need to hear this. This whole idea of come as you are, leave as you were, that is not God's plan. The whole idea that God saves you and then he just accepts you and you stay the way you are. Listen, if there is not a transforming, changing work taking place in your life by attending one of these churches, let me tell you something. You need to get out of that church and get somewhere where you can get into the refiner's fire. Listen to these verses. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Wait a minute. Thank God for grace. We're saved by grace. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. Yes, he buys you just as you are, but he doesn't want you to remain that way. 2 Corinthians 7:1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Most of you know the old standard invitation song, just as I am, without one plea. I was saved, folks, just as I am. But God does not intend for me to remain just as I am. This miraculous growth in grace, this holy transforming process begins in the heart of an individual and works its way, watch this, to the outside. Pretty soon, you begin as a Christian to change. God's Holy Spirit begins to redeem you from all iniquity. He begins to purify unto himself a peculiar people. God expects us to cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. God helps us to perfect holiness in the fear of God. Through God's word and his miraculous transforming power, soon we become new creatures in Jesus Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Sorry, bikers church. Sorry, contemporary church movement. If you're saved, you've been saved for a while, you shouldn't look the same as you did when you got saved. You shouldn't act the same as when you got saved. You shouldn't be going to the same places. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. There's been a great change since I've been born again. They preach that don't set right with me. Listen, what you need to do is get into the Word of God and study what the Bible says. We've got these pretend churches. They're supposedly getting people saved, and then they do not preach the Bible that would take them and transform them into what they ought to be and who they ought to be. Because listen to me, pretty soon, what God has done on the inside of you should show on the outside of you. You say, well, God looketh on a man, looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. I understand that verse is in the scripture. And by the way, men are the one who need to be saved. Men are the one who needs to see a transforming work. Men are the one that needs to see that Jesus Christ makes a difference in you. The things I used to do, the places I used to go, the things I used to wear, the crowds I used to hang with, there's been a great change since I've been born again. Listen, God wants to do a transforming power. I get it. He bought you. And you know what? There you are. And there, guess what? There's a lot of impurities. But God wants to begin the refining process in your life and begin to remove those impurities from your life. Amen. Amen. That's good for you. You say, preacher, that flies in the face of what most churches say around here. Well, the Bible flies in the face of what most people think around here. And you know what? A lot of preachers have no business being in the pulpit because they will not stand up and say what I just said to you this morning. Say, preacher, your kids look different around here. They're supposed to. Your people look a little different. They're supposed to. They don't go the places where the world goes. They're not supposed to. They talk different than the world. That's exactly right. There's been a great change since I've been born. Listen, folks, if you can walk to the back door of a church, and before you walk into church, stand on the front porch and listen to the music, and then walk down to the honky-tonk and stand by the back door and listen to that music, and it's the same music, you're going to the wrong church.
Okay, if you can go to a rock concert somewhere and stand at the back door of a rock concert and listen to that music, go to the back door of a church and hear the same music, you're in the wrong church. See, folks, listen, the church used to impact the world. Now the world has impacted the church. And now you can't tell the difference between people that are lost and people that are saved. I'm trying to help some of you that are newly born again. You forget that junk. You forget that philosophy. You let God begin to change you from the inside and let it work to the outside, because there ought to be a difference. And if you don't believe that, go to Romans or Titus chapter 2, verse 11 and 14, and rip that page out of your Bible. Go to 2 Corinthians 7:1, rip that page out of your Bible. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things, just scribble it out. Take a black marker. But shame on you. Shame on you. Thank God we go to a church that teaches people they can be saved just as they are. But you ought to also say, thank God I go to a church where the preacher's not going to let me stay right where I'm at. He's going to take the word of God and challenge me, and I'm going to have to, watch this, I'm going to have to make some changes. I'm going to have to go through a transforming, refining process, because yes, God buys us, and he buys us with all the impurities there, but then he begins the process of wanting to remove those impurities from our life. I'm getting a little warmed up here. This is good this morning. I like to preach up just a little sweat. Amen. All right. The raw materials containing gold and silver are purchased, number one. Number two, although they contain gold and silver, they contain also an endless variety of impurities. Number three, watch this. What does he do with that then? The raw materials is then placed in a container called a crucible. A crucible. Now, a crucible is a vessel. I'll read the definition of it. A crucible is a vessel made of refractory substance such as granite or porcelain used for melting and refining materials at high temperatures. Now, what we have to do to get that material, that raw material and that gold to melt, is you have to get it over 1,000 degrees Celsius, which means you've got to put it in some container, watch this, that can withstand the heat of 1,000 degrees Celsius, because you can't have the container melt. You just want the materials to melt. Now stay with me, folks. Watch this. A vessel made of a refractory substance such as graphite or porcelain, used for melting and refining materials at high temperatures. God allows us to go into the crucibles of life. The crucibles of life. When Job wrote this, where was he, preacher? He went through financial loss. That's a crucible. He went through the death of some loved ones. That's a crucible. He went through betrayal of his wife. That's a crucible. He went through unfair accusations and whisperings of the people he thought were his friends. That's a crucible. He went through extreme physical sufferings. That's a crucible. Every one of us is going, if we're going to become all that God wants us to become, if we're going to be able to accomplish all that God wants us to accomplish, must go through the crucibles of life. Let me read out of 1 Peter. Beloved, think it not strange concerning fiery trials, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice in so much as you are partaker of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Listen, the only way to get rid of the impurities is to place the material, first of all, into what's called a crucible. Number four, stay with me. The crucible then is placed over intense heat. 1 Peter chapter 1, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, manifold testings, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, shall be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So God purchased me. And then he looks at me and he says, he's a mess. And so he goes and takes a crucible and he puts me inside of it. And then he sticks me over the refiner's fire. Stay with me, folks. Zechariah 13, verse 8 and 9. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die. But the third shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire and will refine them as silver is refined and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people. And they shall say, the Lord is my God. Where do you get to that place? When you're put into the crucible, when you're put into the flames. Isaiah 48:10, behold, I have refined thee. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. Now watch this, folks. It's going to happen to every single one of us. God loves you. And God wants you to be this. Okay? God has a purpose and a plan for you. But you know what? When he saved you, listen, watch this, the best of us were a mess. And so God takes the raw materials. Thank God he saw something worth redeeming. He saw the potential of the gold. He saw the potential of the silver was there. But you know what? It's useless until it's refined. And so God takes that raw material now and he puts it in a crucible. And then he puts the crucible over the fire. And we've got people at Blessed Hope Baptist Church right now. And they're sitting in a crucible. And there's 1,000-degree heat underneath them. And you know what? They're saying some of the same things Job said. And by the way, please have mercy. And I mean this, folks, extend mercy. You say, preacher, their faith ought to be stronger than it is. Well, you know what? When you get into that situation, you talk about how strong your faith is. What you ought to do is just pray for them, folks. Because Job, you know what? He said some things that may cause us to scratch our head. He said, even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him. I can't even find God. That I might even come to his seat. I wish I could go find out where his throne is, because I would go there and order my cause before him. I would fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. You know, he said this, behold, I go forward. He's not there. Backwards, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand that I cannot see him. Preacher, it seems like the heavens are brass, and it seems like I can't find the Lord, and I don't understand what's happening. Listen, when you're in that crucible and you're over that fire, let me tell you something. It's hard. It's hard, honestly, to keep your faith. But I am challenging you to get to verse 10, because Job, in the middle of the crucible of life, said this, but he knoweth the way that I take. He said, wait a minute, preacher, how did Job know that he knew the way he would take? By faith. He knew God. I can't find him, but I know he's there. I can't see him, but I know he sees me. I can't figure out where he's at, but he knows right where I'm at. And you know what he said this? Watch this. He finished out by saying, when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. And so we see that the raw materials are put in the crucible, and then the crucible is placed over intense heat. Quickly, number 5, the raw materials are completely melted down to liquid form. Stay with me. Watch this. You know what, folks? This whole matter of changing and this matter of getting rid of the impurities of our life, this matter of growing in grace, is not an easy process. And God literally, watch this, has to change us fundamentally. We're taking something that was a solid and we're taking it down into liquid form. The heat is so intense, it melts it down to liquid form. Maybe that's why Proverbs 17:3 says, the refining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord trieth the hearts. Job also said this, now my soul is poured out upon me. Wait a minute, think about that. Why would he use the phrase poured out upon me? Because he was under such intense heat that, you ever felt like, preacher, I feel like I'm melting. Watch this, listen to these words. Psalm 22:17. David, in the middle of a crucible, wrote this psalm, I am poured out like water and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax and it has melted in the midst of my bowels. You know what he was talking about? Being in the crucible of life. Jeremiah 9:7. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will melt them and try them, for how shall I do for the daughter of my people? Preacher, some of you young people say, maybe you look at another young person that was raised in church, and you know they're living a good life, a victorious life. You say, preacher, I want to be like that. Are you willing to go through the crucibles of life? Are you willing for God at times to turn the heat up to such an intensity that it changes the very fiber of who you are? Because folks, watch this. We're going to talk about this at the end. When somebody's gone through the crucible and the refining process, they come out different than they were before. You know why? Because God's wanting to make something out of them. You know what? Because the way they are, they're his, but they're not of really any real value. And he sees a bigger picture, something special he wants to make out of them. And so the crucible is then placed over intense heat. The raw materials are literally melted down to liquid form. The honest truth is that God often has to take us down to nothing in order to begin to make us something. Stay with me. I mean, rock bottom is not such a bad place to be if it gets you to look up to God. So God will take you down to where he needs to take you. Number 6, and I want to quickly say this. Watch this. The refiner constantly oversees, observes, and controls the entire process. Amen, amen, amen. Job 23:8, behold, I go forward, he's not there, backwards, I cannot perceive him on my right hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand that I cannot see him, but he knoweth the way that I take. Yes, Brother Job, you're 100% right. He hasn't gone anywhere. Refining with flame, I read this and I just copied it and pasted it. Refining with flame is one of the oldest methods of refining metals. Mentioned even in the Bible, refining by fire is the preferable method for larger quantities of gold. In ancient times, this form of refining involved a craftsman sitting next to a hot fire with molten gold in a crucible being stirred and skimmed to remove the impurities or dross that rose to the top of the molten metal. With flames reaching temperatures in excess of 1,000 degrees Celsius, this job was definitely intense and often dangerous for the gold refiner. During the process, the refiner's full attention and skilled knowledge of the materials is required. And you know what? There's nobody more qualified and nobody more skilled than Almighty God. I had this thought, and I hope it's not off base, but I'm sitting there thinking about that crucible. The container that you put the raw materials in before you hold it over the fire. And I couldn't get that out of my mind. Crucible, I thought this, the Holy Spirit brought this verse to mind. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Say, preacher, what kind of a container would God put us in before he would put us over the fire? And I thought to myself, the Bible says, I've never left the hand of God. I've never left the hand of Jesus. And let me tell you what God does during the refining process. Hallelujah. You know what he does? He puts this raw material called Jerry Ross into his hand. And then the Father's hand goes over the Son's hand. And then with me in the hand of God and the hand of his Son, it goes over the refiner's fire. And by the way, God controls the amount of heat. And God controls the melting process. And God watches every single aspect of what he's doing. And listen, if you're in the hand of God, I don't care what your circumstances are, you're going to be okay. You're going to be okay. What is that crucible? I think it's the hand of Almighty God. That's what I think it is, because it can take the heat. I can't take it, but it can take the heat. Isn't that good? And so the refiner constantly oversees and observes and controls the entire process. Hey, let me encourage you, Christian. God has not forgotten you. And God has not left you. And he's been there every step of the way. And whether you can see him or whether you can find him, let me tell you something. He's not gone anywhere. And he's in full control of the situation. And you know what? He's doing it for a purpose. He has a plan. Let him work his plan. Number 7, as the materials melt, the gold sinks to the bottom and the dross floats to the top. This is good. This is where it gets good. As the materials melt, the gold being heavier sinks to the bottom. The dross, the impurities float to the top. The dross is skimmed off the top. What is left is allowed to cool. The refined gold then resumes a solid form. Aren't you glad that God doesn't leave you in the fire forever? Proverbs 25:4, take away the dross from the silver and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer. And I will turn my hand upon thee, Isaiah wrote, and purely purge away thy dross and take away all thy tin. 1 Peter 5:10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. And so you know what God does to every single one of us? From time to time, he takes, and by the way, I'm going to get to this point, but folks, this isn't a one-time process. The refining of the gold has to happen again and again and again. And every time the gold is refined, it comes out better and better and better. But God from time to time takes Jerry Ross and says, son, you're going to have to trust me. And I'm going to close my hand over you. And I'm going to control this situation. By the way, the Father's hand's over my hand. But it's time to go into the fire. It's time to go into a crucible of life. You know why? Because there's some things in your life that need to come to the top and be skimmed away, because I have a plan for you and I want to make something of you that I cannot make with the impurities that now exist. Now just trust me, we're going through this process. It may take a week, it may take a month, it may take a year, but you know what? I won't leave you there any longer than you need to be, and there is going to be a day that I settle you and establish you. And you know what? God does that in our lives from time to time. Number 8, this new solid form has been changed in three fundamental ways. It is now purer than it was. It has about it a new luster. Amen. It's more valuable than it was. And you know what? Every time I watch a Christian properly handle the trials of life, you know what? They come out purer than they were. They come out with a new luster. I mean, there's just a new glow. You ever seen a Christian, ran into a Christian that's just gone through a crucible of life? And they maintain their integrity, and they maintain their faith in God, and they didn't throw their standards away and quit going to church, but they just trusted God. Let me tell you something. Read the last chapter of Job. He came out with a new luster, a new glow about him. Something had changed fundamentally about it. Something in his countenance is different. You know why? Because he responded properly to the refiner's fire. Malachi 3, verse 2. And who may abide in the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like a fuller's soap. He shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto God an offering in righteousness. I love Psalm 66. Oh, bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of his praise to be heard, which holdeth our soul in life and suffereth not our feet to be moved. For thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Thou broughtest us into the net. Thou layest affliction upon our loins. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through the fire and through the water, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. Think about that. So number eight, this new solid form has changed. It's purer than it was before. It's got a different luster to it. It's more valuable than it was before. Number nine, the process is then repeated to continue the refining process, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in manifold heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith be much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. So what happens? Watch this. I get saved at 5 years of old, 5 years of age. During my elementary years, God very protective of me. During some of my teenage years, God begins to take me to the refiner's fire. See how I respond, get some of the impurities out. Hey, preacher, why should I go to this youth thing? Because you need to go to the refiner's fire. Okay, why should I go to church camp? Because you need to go to the refiner's fire. Come on now. And so then I get into Bible college. You know what God does? He called me into the ministry and he said, son, I need to remake you if you're going to be successful in the ministry. So guess what? I'm going to put you into the fire. Not just once, several times. I mean, the heat's on. I watched the heat go on some young men that called into the ministry, said they were called in the ministry, and I seen them cut and run. I seen them say, I'm not going to suffer like this. I'm not going to live like this. This is God asking too much. All right then. All right, just hold on to your impurities. You know what? You'll never be used as a vessel for what God wanted you to be used for. Folks, listen to me, as strange as this may seem, I've just learned to understand the refiner's fire is a part of the process of life. Okay? Stop reacting as if you're the first one that's ever gone through it or the only one that's ever faced it. Whatever you're facing in life, other people have faced before you. And God's given them the strength to make it. And God has blessed them. And God's used it to cleanse their lives and make them meet for the master's use and make them more qualified to be used in God in a unique way. Just trust the Lord. And so God took me then through Bible college. God took me to Brazil, Indiana. And you know what he did? He took me and my wife and put us several times in the refiner's fire. God allowed me to come over to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Those early days, wondrous days, amazing days, miraculous things. But as I was a youth pastor, two or three different times, God put me in the refiner's fire. Since I've been pastoring, folks, listen to me. I want to be, and I pray, God, let me be the best I can be for my people. And God says, you mean that? You mean that? Because you know what it means if we're going to do this. Listen, are you just satisfied being gold ore? Do you want to be used to the full extent as God wants you to be used? Then stop. Listen, stop complaining about the refiner's fire. I know it's hard. Endure it. Be glad for it. Because God is burning some things away that need to be burned away. So what? One of these days, he can make something wonderful and beautiful and functional. So God's going to take you through the fire. And you know what? He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Nobody's arrived. We're all going through the process. When proper purity is achieved, the refiner then fashions it into what he wants it to be. That's the last point. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Folks, I want to be a vessel to honor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. There was a young preacher, a young musician, 27 years of age, began to have problems with one of his eyes. The eye doctor discovered something in his left eye that worried him. After several weeks of testing, he was rolled into the operating room, not knowing what the outcome would be. He slowly regained consciousness after surgery. His wife gave him the startling news that the doctor had found cancer in his eye and had to remove his left eye completely. The doctor gave him his first patch. And suddenly, Ron Hamilton was a pirate. Kids were fascinated by the patch and soon began to call him Patch the Pirate. And the song "Rejoice in the Lord" was born out of this experience. Watch this. God never moves without purpose or plan. When trying his servant and molding a man, give thanks to the Lord. Though your testing seems long, in darkness he giveth a song. I could not see through the shadows ahead, so I looked at the cross of my Savior instead. I bowed to the will of the Master that day. Then peace came and tears fled away. Now I can see testing comes from above. God strengthens his children and purges in love. My Father knows best, and I trust in his care. Through purging, more fruit I will bear. Oh, rejoice in the Lord. He makes no mistake. He knoweth the end of each path that I take. For when I am tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold. Let's bow our heads this morning for a word of prayer. The refiner's fire. The refiner's fire. Heavenly Father, please, dear God, I pray, Lord, a special prayer for those who are in the refiner's fire, even as I speak. They've been placed in a crucible of life. For some, as Job did, it may be financial testing. For others, it may be the whisperings and the false accusations of people who he thought were friends. Maybe betrayal of a family member. Lord, it may be health problems. The heat's up. They're in the crucible. The temperature gauge is well over 1,000 degrees Celsius, but thank God that the crucible is the hand of Almighty God. Oh Lord, within your will and within your, in the care of your good hands, dear God, please melt us down to what we need to be, and dear God, change us in some fundamental way. Scrape off the dross, dear God, that floats to the top and get the impurities out of our life. And Lord, please, in your good time, according to your good plan, would then, Lord, please, you remove the heat. And may we become refiner's gold. And we understand, Lord, that life is a process and it's not one trip to the fire. But Lord, I hope that every time that we have to go there, Lord, we'd come out purer, we'd come out better. Lord, we'd come out more usable. We'd come out with a stronger testimony of the grace of God. And Lord, please prepare each and every one of us, Lord, so that we can fulfill your will and your plan for our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name.